All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate the support. If you saw me on YouTube, I just did a fist bump. It's nice if you're not watching on YouTube. Thanks for joining us. I'm shaking my AG1 right now, Tim. Getting into it. Nice. Tim's here. Tim, I was nervous. I'll say this. You went up to Wilmington in the woods by yourself. I'm like, is everything going to be okay if this goes south? Like, we could have a missing person report on you, but seemed like a lot happier. A weight lifted off your shoulders.
I went down to Wilmington, which is
You know what? You know what?
City by the
coast. You're such a just.
There were no woods involved. It's a city on the
Unbelievable.
Water.
Unbelievable. Cut me some slack. Sorry, I don't know the geographical location of Wilmington.
Saturday was great. We had a great time, but there was this little tiny rain cloud over my head the whole day of like, man, there's so much at stake tonight. I'm trying not to think about it. I stayed off social media, but like this was a huge game. And like I said on Friday, not just for, you know, this series, this playoff run, but just this entire era of Bruins hockey. So we can get into it. But man, it was a long day. It was a tough night, but it ended well.
Yeah, it ended well. Everybody was happy. And let's just recap the first round, because that's what we do here. And we both did pretty good. We both got 6 right. We both got 2 wrong. I had Vegas winning. You obviously had Dallas. You had Tampa Bay. I had Florida. And we both had Winnipeg. So what are you going to do? The Winnipeg Jets just completely suck, you know, and they just blew it. But not bad. 6 out of 8. In my eyes, that's pretty good odds. You know what I mean? But let's get into it. Boston versus Toronto. Before we got on the air, I said, Tim, we can't spend too much time on this. I don't want to be just a straight Toronto-Boston podcast. Everybody is talking about the series. Everybody is talking about the outcome, rightfully so. Like, seismic ramifications could potentially come from this Game 7 loss for the Toronto Maple Leafs. That could really affect a lot of teams in the next coming years. And it will, because things need to happen. But let's just talk about the game. Very, very typical Game 7. Tight checking. Nobody wants to make a mistake. Really, really well-played game in my eyes. It's funny. People say the New Age fans, they love goal scoring. They love up and down the ice. They love just action, action, action. I feel like that was one of the most enjoyable games I've seen in a long time. It was high tense, high stakes. Every decision mattered, and you could tell the players knew it. And the biggest surprise before the puck drop, Ilya Samsonov's out there for the national anthem. What's going on? Where's Joseph Woll? I still don't know what happened to Joseph Woll. I don't think anybody knows. There's no word. Toronto, typical Toronto fashion, doesn't let us know anything. Ilya Samsonov gets to start. I think Joseph Woll hurt himself when he stretched across to try to make the save in Boston's last game, Game 6, with the empty net. Trying to preserve the shutout, diving across, hurts himself in that play. Going into Game 7, obviously they're not going to say anything, because that would create a media storm around Ilya Samsonov. He gets to start. Plays pretty good, except for the one goal he gave up. And that's the one you have to save. But let's just get into it. What did you think of the game, Tim? I'm going to give you the floor. We let you speak I shouldn't say it that way. You spoke at length about your nervousness, how Boston was, you know, you're done with Boston.
Didn't say
this
that.
And that. Oh, you insinuated. You were on suicide watch. It was scary.
Yeah, you nailed it in terms of the pace of the game. It was really tight. No one wanted to make the mistake. They said it many times on the broadcast that night. Like, everyone knows the puck's on their stick. You make the simple play. No one wants to be the guy that tries something flashy and forces a turnover or whatever. It was frustrating, and it's kind of scary to watch as a Bruins fan because you're waiting for, like, Pasta to do what Pasta does. There was a couple little plays where you thought, oh, that there he is, but he wasn't himself for most of the game. Charlie McAvoy had a terrible game, I thought, but he was kind of offset by Mason Lowrie, that rookie who's very, very good. And Hampus Lindholm played the best we've seen him since the regular season last year, and I think, because he was bad in the playoffs that first round last year. He was excellent. And, you know, as much as we needed it from them, the cliche as it sounds, they needed it for themselves in terms of Hampus Lindholm, the game that he had, and Pasta scoring that goal in overtime. Because those were two, you know, big demons those two guys were battling. And they played very, very well when it mattered most. The Samsonov thing, I kind of had in the back of my mind, like, he, the last time he played, he was not pulled, but he was taken out of the lineup in lieu of Wall because he was playing so poorly. And now he's only back in the lineup because of an injury. That's in the back of your mind the whole game. And he's a professional. He knows, you know, he knows the stakes and all that, but you can't help but think that was a little bit in his head. He played pretty well, all things considered, but Boston was one goal better. And, you know, you can break down that frame by frame that he should have came out and challenged it. Marner should have been on Pasternak. Riley should have anticipated the bounce, whatever. It's such a quick play. It was a preset play for sure. You know that they've worked on that.
No, I'm talking the first goal that he gave up to Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah, that was tough. But honestly, any one of those rebounds could have gone in too. You know what I mean? Like, that was, they could almost scored a couple of times in the seconds before that too.
Oh, Samsonov played great, but what makes a great goalie? Like, a really great goalie? It's making the easy saves. Like, you can make spectacular saves. All the goalies are athletic. They're good. It's just those simple ones that go in every so often. And Samsonov played three games. How many goals did he give up that were just like, man, that's a mental lapse? I'd say one each game, maybe more. How many Jeremy Swayman give up in six games? Not one. He was on it. He was focused. He didn't give up one bad goal. Not one. Samsonov gave up one per game, and that's the difference. That's the absolute difference right there in my eyes. And then another difference is the coaching. Sheldon Keefe, man, what a dummy. What an absolute donkey this guy is. Jim Montgomery after game six. Boston had just lost the previous two. They're in a tailspin. No one knows what's going to happen. Their backs are against the wall going home for game seven. Everyone expected them to lose. Even Tim, their most, you know, biggest supporter. Jim Montgomery challenges David Pastrnak. He said, you have to be better. This is not acceptable. We need more from you. Just calls them out. You got to be better. What did Sheldon Keefe do when they go down 3-1? Made excuses. But we played really hard. We played good. Difference. And I know Toronto won the next two games, so they did respond. But selfish prick, Austin Matthews wasn't in the lineup. So that said a lot for me, Jim Montgomery just standing up and saying, we need more from you. And in my eyes, that was Boston's best game. He played fantastic. He had a couple slick moves around D-man where he fakes a shot, goes backhand, back to the forehand. Boy, was he incredible. Jeremy Swayman doing what he does all series long. He was the MVP for the Boston Bruins, hands down. So incredibly good. If I'm voting for Conn Smythe right now, I don't care how many points everybody has in the other series. Jeremy Swayman, he's pretty solid. If I'm Linus Allmark, I'm just like already packing my bags. I'm gone. They're trading me in the offseason. They have to. So Bruins win. They're going on to the second round. And did you see Matthew Tkachuk's comment?
Yeah, I love that.
What, just twisting the dagger. He goes up to the podium. He's talking about playing the Boston Bruins. And I'm paraphrasing, but he goes, yeah, we knew it was going to be the Bruins the whole time. Like, we had total faith that they were going to beat Toronto. So even he just knows how choke artists the Toronto Maple Leafs are. But, like, moving on. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because we could spend an hour and a half talking about all the decisions. So, Tim, where do the Toronto Maple Leafs go now? Another Game 7 loss. 10 consecutive years of just futility. 8 years with this group, this core four. Where do they go from here?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of getting their offseason checklist together. I think some of the obvious ones that I probably agree with is you trade Marner. He's the odd man out, both from a production standpoint in the playoffs, but also just cap-wise. Because some of the guys you'd like to get rid of, but you probably can't. He's got a tradable contract. Someone's going to want him. I think you probably have to fire Keith, even though I don't put the blame squarely on his shoulders. But enough is enough. You need to make a change here. I would probably take the captaincy away from Tavares.
Oh, again, strip in the sea. Love it.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, it's not like it's squarely his fault either, but like, you need to make a change. It's not working. And it's more about just like, do you go without a captain? Do you give it to someone else? I think those are the main three that I start with right there. I think the bottom six is less relevant. You got okay production and okay play from those guys, but those are the top three because you can't trade. Like, I've seen a lot of people talking about getting rid of Morgan Riley, but you can't. He's under contract for like 7 more years.
And he's not the problem.
He's got a decent number, 7.5. I don't think he's a number one defenseman though. I don't think he's going to continue to be the older that he gets. So I feel like you trade Marner and you go get a legit number one, take some of the pressure off Riley and maybe give Matthews the captaincy, even though I know he doesn't necessarily deserve it, but maybe you get more from him if he's got the C on his jersey.
Oh, I said this how many weeks or a month ago. They don't have an offensive defenseman. Morgan Riley is your 1A option on the back end, and he's okay, but he's not an offensive defenseman. That's where it all begins. Look at their power play. 1 for 22 this series, I think it was.
21, yeah. It's incredible.
21. That's embarrassing. And they did the same thing 2 years ago when they lost out in the playoffs. Like, it's awful. They almost should decline penalties. And when you're rolling out forwards with Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, Bertuzzi, Domi, Yarncroc, Knies, you should be scoring goals. And I think it comes down to they don't have a quarterback. They don't have a guy up top who can facilitate these guys and be a threat. Nobody cares what Morgan Riley does up top. Sure, Morgan, take a shot. You suck. We want you to shoot it. Cover Matthews, you cover Marner, you cover Nylander. That's one problem. You have to find an offensive threat from the back end. Oh, we need grit. We need sandpaper. In today's game on the back end, do you really? Maybe you're 5-6. Get some sandpaper. Guy who's really good at killing penalties. Like, Timothy Liljegren played great. He had a fantastic series. I love the way he plays. Jake McCabe, I love the way he plays. Joel Edmondson, the way he plays. Joel Edmondson. All those guys. Simon Benoit plays great. All these guys. Lyubushkin, great. They're all the same type of player. Physical, strong around the net, sandpaper type guys. Who the hell's making the first pass out of the zone? Who's jumping in the rush? Who's a threat to score? Nobody on the back end. That's problem on number one. In today's game, you have to have threats on the back end. And when you look at the forwards, this is where it stinks to be a GM for Toronto. Who are you going to go and find that's better than Mitch Marner? Who are you going to go and find that's better than Willie Nylander, Austin Matthews? John Tavares is so good in the regular season. Sucks in the playoffs. You have to go and make a move. But it's just tricky because Brad Treveling's looking at his contract and he's like, gosh, I better nail this. This is a very important move I have to make. If I trade away Mitch Marner, he's 27 years old. And he averages 97 points a year. He's an absolute, just fantastic hockey player. Like, he's a stud. If I trade him away and he just blows up and he puts up 120 points and I mismanage this, I'm gone. So he's thinking that there's a huge target on his back. So it's an interesting situation the Toronto Maple Leafs have put themselves in. They have a fantastic regular season team. Unbelievable regular season team. One of the best ever. One of the most consistent teams. You can lock them in every single year. They're going to be in the mix right at the end, and then they just fall apart in the playoffs. How do you manage that? I don't know, because you give the contracts out for the regular season for the most part. Because teams that don't make the playoffs, they still pay their players high-end money, right? A guy puts up 120 points, but their team didn't make the playoffs, he's still getting $12 million. This team does make the playoffs, and they fail. So this is a tricky spot for Brad Treveling. You can't mess this up, but you have to do something. Ideally, you get rid of John Tavares. No one's touching that contract, so he's sticking around for one more year. Austin Matthews is locked in. Willie Nylander, his number's looking really good. So the odd duck out here is Mitch Marner. He's got a no-move clause. He ain't going nowhere. This team will be back together next year. This exact group will be back together next year. The only change will be Shanny will be gone. Keith will be gone. That's it. I don't see anybody taking any of these players. I would want Mitch Marner. You think Mitch is going to waive his no move clause? He's pretty comfortable in Toronto. He likes it there. I don't think anybody's going to move, and there's a lot of pressure on Brad Treveling to make the right move and to do the right thing. You have to get something back for Mitch Marner. He's a UFA after next year. He's going to want $13, $14 million. That's a big contract. And you have to do a sign and trade because you can't just trade him away with the expectations he's leaving that team. So a lot of moving parts. I'm predicting none of these guys leave. And they're going to roll it back. And they're going to fail again. I don't know. The best players for Toronto, Matthew Nyes, Max Domi, Willie Nylander. Those three. 100%.
Nyes was outstanding. Like, yeah. He was so good. And I hadn't really watched him much except for little highlights here and there. Like, he's got such a high hockey IQ. He's strong. He drives to the net. He does not play in the perimeter. He's going to be a pain in the butt to play against for the Bruins for the next 10, 12 years if he sticks around.
How many points did he get? Matthew Nyes.
In the series?
Yeah.
I would guess
three. Top of your head.
Three.
3 points. So he had a fantastic series. He got 3 points. That's not good enough. He tied Babushkin. It's not good enough. This is an offensive team. You can't just lay an egg in the playoffs. You have to score. I don't know what the answer is, but these guys suck in the playoffs. It's so comical how bad they are.
Well, we think about, like, okay, the teams that are built for offense first, the Torontos. I mean, it's a lot of Canadian teams, Vancouver, Edmonton. Toronto's definitely one of them. We loop them in that group. But in the playoffs, like, they're built for the playoffs. Half of their salary cap are in their forward group. And yet they have trouble scoring in the postseason. They have now then held the 2 or fewer goals in 13 of the last 14 playoff games.
Not good enough.
And I was thinking, like, okay, where would you trade Marner that he would want to go and he can go be better somewhere? And I'm like, just running through my head, you know, somewhere we can get tied with like a really elite goal scorer. Oh, wait, he's got one now and he still can't do it. And wouldn't it be nice if you go out and get like a Zach Hyman type player who's got that offense, but a little bit of sandpaper too?
Yeah.
They can play all situations.
It's all if, ands, buts. These guys run the team and they're just not that group. So I did see he could go to Chicago, be paired with Connor Bedard. That'd be fun. And they have the cap space. That's the thing. The cap is going to play a huge part in this. How many teams have $14 million over 8 years to handle Mitch Marner? That's a big number. So we'll see what happens. But it's fun to watch, Tim. It's fun to watch these guys implode and Keith just throw us to. And what comment? His quote. Is there another coach who is as worse as Sheldon Keefe doing interviews? We've said this many times. Does he not have a coach who comes in and like preps him or helps him? He says the worst possible thing time and time again. Time and time again. He has no sense of timing. He has no sense of just what he's saying, it seems like. What did he say when asked about, you know, this series and Game 7 in particular?
He said, quote, when teams play the Leafs, they set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves. And he went on to say, that's what we did in games 3 and 4. And, you know, we just didn't have it enough tonight. And like you said, they do have, you know, PR coaches. I don't think there's any team in the league that invests more money and time in branding, PR and all that stuff than Toronto does. And so there's got to be some like head of marketing, you know, PR VP that's just pulling his hair every time that someone gives this guy a mic. And all I hear when I see that is I get out coached every year. That's what he's saying. That's what I hear.
When teams play the Leafs, they set up the game for the Leafs to beat themselves. That's
beautifully put.
It's actually quite poetic when you think about it. But wouldn't you be embarrassed to say that as a coach? Because your job is to win. And if you know teams are trying to force you into mistakes and make you beat yourself, you're ahead of the game. You're like, okay, they're trying to, you know, make us turn the puck over. They're trying to, you know, force us to take the puck in wide, or they're trying to, you know, take advantage of this weakness. Use that for your advantage. It's just bonkers that he's so dumb. For he is the dumbest smart guy I know. He is, because apparently he's a genius. hockey wizard. 5 years, he's got to go. He's been there for 5 years, half a decade. He needs to go. Shanny needs to go. Clean house. Trevealing's just inheriting this just mess of a franchise at this point. But, oh, man. Heads have to roll there. It has to. He just signed a new 2-year contract, Sheldon Keefe. He's entering at his first year next year. You got to dump him. You can't do this. The worst thing that could have happened for Toronto is winning games 5 and 6.
Yeah.
It gives them a sliver of hope, and they do it every year. It's like, oh, we're down 3-1. If they lose game 5, everybody's gone. Like, they're already gone. By the time the final horn goes, everybody knows they're fired. Just giving them that little sliver of hope. Going to overtime. Giving them that, oh, what if Joseph Woll would have played? Oh, what if Austin would have played game 5 and 6? Oh, what if Willie would have been in there for games 1 and 2? Oh, or even 3? Oh, you know, what if? So there's always that in the back of your head. Man, we were so close. And this is what's funny about Toronto and everybody surrounding that environment. You guys, it's the first round. There's still the second round, the third round, and the Stanley Cup final. Like, we're splitting hairs over the first round. There's a long road after this, right? Like, everybody gets so excited and they just analyze, oh man, we were so close. What if we would have won? You still got to get by Florida. You still have to get by Carolina or New York. And you still have to get by the Western Conference. Like, you're not even close. I've been further in the playoffs than everybody on this team. Him, me. I've been to the Eastern Conference final. And I suck. I've been further. I've physically played in playoff games in the first round, just like these guys. So I'm just as good as them. I've gone as far as these guys. I've been around teams who have been further. The New York Rangers. It's just, how are they even? I don't even want to get into it. They just fool themselves. It's all trickery, smoke and mirrors. We're good. We're good. No, you're not. You're not good.
What round was the Blackhawks series when you lost to Vancouver?
First round, game 7. Thank you very much, Chris Campoli. Well, yeah, we were the 8th seed. They were the number 1 seed. Oh, I didn't play. That's why we lost. Sorry, let's not spend any more time on this. Do you have any more comments, any more gloating that you can do?
No, it's going to be a fun summer dumping all over every move they do or don't make, but we'll save that for another time.
Question for you. If Boston loses 4 straight, still a successful season?
No. And I said, like, no. Even if they had played really well and still lost game 7, it still would have been a total tarnish to the legacy. It didn't matter how they played. They needed to win. And they didn't play that great, but they got the win, and Pasta stepped up when it mattered most. So,
what a great play by Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Fantastic pass. Heads up play.
And then see Pasta calling for it with a stick, too. And
like, just whose fault is it? Is it Marner's or is it Riley's?
It's not Marner's. It's not Marner's. As much as we want to dump on him, like, the forward's job is to not follow the guy to the corner. I like agree. That.
It's Riley's. You know? And even Samsonov. He could have been more aggressive. He just stays right on his crease.
Right.
Oh, Toronto. Yeah. All right. Morgan Riley is the new Jake Gardner. It's very funny. But anyways, moving on. Dallas-Vegas, another game 7 was played somehow. There was another game 7 played, and boy, another fantastic game. Comes down right to the wire, led by Wyatt Johnson. The Dallas Stars win 4-3. Fantastic. Or was that the final score? Yeah.
Both. Yeah.
Yeah, 4-3. What did you think of this series, Tim? I didn't pay too much attention to it just because the game starts so late. I caught a couple games. Very, very entertaining. I think one of the biggest sleeper series in the first round. Very enjoyable. Not high scoring, but just still pretty fun.
Yeah, sorry. No, it was 2-1 the game last night.
That's what
I watched the last third period. Incredible. Like, so intense. And Vegas is just hovering. The goalies pulled. I thought they would have pulled them a little earlier than they did, but you know, they couldn't get the sustained offense going, the puck possession. But yeah, incredible game. Ottinger is just, we've seen this from him before, but it wasn't last year. Like, we kind of thought a couple of years ago when he's the future, and it just didn't happen. And then now we're seeing him really step up in the moment, similar to Swayman. You know, some goalies want that challenge, and he's doing it. Wyatt Johnson's just incredible, and yeah, it was great. And I just, you know, I think the entire league was rooting for Dallas in this series, yeah. The entire country, because Vegas has just went from like the darlings of the league the first couple of years to everyone's enemy. And again, you know, the whole LTIR thing and all that. And it's a little bit, it's just poetic that they went all in at the deadline had the best deadline. They acquire Hanifin, Hurdle, Mantha. They use the LTIR to put Stone there. He plays game one. He scores his first shift. Everything's going their way. They're two up, two nothing at home, in Dallas, I mean. And you think the series is basically over. And Dallas just clawed back. They deserve all the credit for that. So, yeah, great ending there.
Talk about the additions. You talk about how Vegas added all these headline guys, you know, Hurdle, Hanifin, the biggest guys. What about Dallas's acquisition? How did he do? Chris Tanev.
Yeah, I saw this tweet from Dmitry Filipovich, who's just one of those advanced stats guys. And he said, Chris Tanev played 144 minutes at 5-on-5 in this series. 93 of those, which is, you know, two-thirds, three-quarters, came against the Golden Knights' top two lines. In those minutes, the Dallas Stars outscored their opponents 5-0.
It's incredible.
That is like, that's what you want from an impact defenseman. That's exactly what they brought him in for. And Duchene even said, like, they talked about, like, possible guys, and he would be, like, for the entire year, like, oh, he looked great on our team. We could really use him. So I love that when it works out like that.
And not a lot of people gave that a lot of notice when it happened. Chris Tanev, like, oh, you know, he'll be a good 5-6 defenseman. There was other bigger names on the market. And lo and behold, this guy, he played fantastic. And Noah Hanifin played really good, too. Don't get me wrong. He was solid. He wasn't the reason why Vegas lost. But Chris Tanev, to go 5-0, like, scoring differential versus the other team's top line in almost 100 minutes of ice time, that's incredible. And then the coach, the Dallas Stars coach, formerly of the Vegas Golden Knights, formerly of the New Jersey Devils, he's had a lot of Game 7 experience. Talk about impeccable. 8-0 in Game 7s. Pete DeBoer. As much as I just can't, I shouldn't say I can't stand him. He didn't want to resign me. He doesn't like me. And when someone doesn't like me, you're dead to me. So 8-0, talk about adjustments, game planning, keeping his team motivated. You're down 2-0. You lose the first two games at home. That could be crippling to some teams. Most teams, for the most part, going into a hostile environment like Las Vegas, to reigning Stanley Cup champions, he bounces back, wins three of the next four. Great coaching job by him. It helps that you have veterans who can just withstand all that heat and the lights. You got Pavelski, friend of the show, Matt Duchene, happy for him. So it's a good time to be a Dallas Stars fan. This is fun. This could be their hardest series going forward, but now they get the Colorado Avalanche. That's going to be a fun series. That's going to be a very fun series. All right. Speaking of second round, let's get into our second round predictions. And Tim, you know who they're brought to you by?
Who are they brought to us by?
Bet365, proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. You should open an account today with Bet365 and bet on huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use promo code HockeyCA at Bet365. Have some fun, win some money, enjoy yourself, treat yourself at Bet365, promo code HockeyCA. All right, second round's already started. Afternoon game yesterday, New York Rangers versus Carolina Hurricanes. We're starting to get into the sexy matchups in the Eastern Conference. This is fun. First round, not so much. There was one Boston-Toronto. Now it's fun. New York Rangers-Carolina Hurricanes matched up. Very fun game. Talk about going from a 2-1, 2-1 game sevens into the New York Rangers-Carolina Hurricanes up and down the ice. Lots of power plays. Lots of momentum changes. It was a fun game to watch. Two evenly matched teams. Rangers really strong up front. Fantastic goaltender. Carolina Hurricanes, every line, just consistent. They play the same way, and they've added some scoring depth to Jake Guentzel, and they have a really, really good decor. Lo and behold, the one thing that made the difference here, the most dangerous power play on the planet, the New York Rangers, came in. Carolina Hurricanes took two penalties, Tim. That's it, two. Both in the first period. The Rangers said, thank you very much. Scored two goals 8 seconds apart. Or it only took 8 seconds to score two power play goals, I should say. Excuse me. They are the most lethal power play on the planet. Prove me wrong.
Edmonton, the Oilers.
No. Rangers, they've been together so long. They're so familiar with each other. Did you see Chris Carter's pass to Mikita Zibanejad?
Yeah, but McDavid does that every power play too.
McDavid sucks. He's only got one goal this playoffs. Yeah. One goal. He's washed up. We're not talking about him anymore. New York Rangers, that's the reason why they won. Imagine, okay, I don't want to go back to Toronto, but imagine if Toronto's power play was as effective as the New York Rangers. Be untouchable.
Or even half as effective.
Half as effective. What did you think of this game? Because this is your hometown team, Tim, Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, friend of the show, Seth Jarvis is 8 points so far. He leads his team in playoff points. It was great. This is a great, very exciting matchup. It's hard to predict. You know, we'll get into our predictions. Rangers are obviously up 1-0 now because what's driving me crazy that you start that before you even end round one. But I get the, you know, scheduling restrictions and all that. The power play is going to be the thing. And I would think that Carolina would have a strength in their penalty kill and have a pretty good power play when you add like Kuznetsov and Gensel on top of everyone else you already had. But like you said, the Rangers have a better one. I see this one going the distance. I'm still not panicking as a Carolina secondary fan. I still would pick Carolina in this one, but Rangers are up 1-0 now.
So who do you take?
I'm taking Carolina.
Yeah, we've always said the series doesn't start till the home team loses. And the Rangers, you know, they held court. They played good. Carolina only had 12 shots. They need to figure this out. They need to get their game together. They didn't look great. A long time off between game. They went in four games in the first round. So there was a long break for both of these teams. And the Rangers, they looked comfortable. They looked really good. Oh, man. I'm going to go with Carolina as well. I feel like they are the better team overall, top to bottom. Matt Rempe. Do I go against him? He played great too. So we'll see what happens. I'm taking the Carolina Hurricanes. This has been a game seven. Lots of adjustments. Just a fun one to watch. All right, moving on. Your hometown team, Boston Bruins, rematch with the Florida Panthers a year before. Obviously, everybody knows the story. Up 3-1, lose the next three. President's Trophy winners, most points in NHL history. It's time for some payback, Tim. Boston, 4-0 versus the Panthers this season, which, as we know, doesn't really play a part in the playoffs because who was 3-0? Winnipeg was 3-0 versus the Avalanche.
Yeah.
And we saw that. That ended up. Colorado wins in 5 games. Is this going to carry over into the playoffs? Boston's success versus Florida this regular season, Tim?
Not likely.
Florida is a better team. You've just given up on Boston. It's hilarious.
What I'm looking forward to is like there was so much pressure against Toronto in the first round. And now that they've got that monkey up their back and they can just play their game and play against a team that is a better team, that is a favorite, they can just relax a little bit and play their game. And I think you're going to see a Pastrnak takeover that we were waiting for in the first round and didn't get. You're going to see a game from him where he's just, you know, 4 points or whatever, or a couple of goals. And a couple of questions here is I think Panthers have way more game breakers than we do. We've seen a little bit of Marchand, a little bit of Pastrnak, but you're going to get the best of Tkachuk and Reinhart and Verhaeghe, and Sam Bennett hasn't skated, but he hasn't returned yet, but he's been skating and he should be back at some point in this series, not tonight, but like there's a lot of guys that can just take over a game, and you need Boston to do that too. And they're very, very difficult to contain. The other thing too that people are talking about, not me, you won't hear me saying anyone, but Swayman should get the net. But Allmark went 3-0 against Florida this year, 1.62 goals against, 957 save percentage. It seems like he has their number. So I don't think necessarily he gets game one by any stretch, but I think you probably will see Allmark at some point in the series, regardless of how Swayman plays.
Do you think they go back to rotation for the first few games?
I wouldn't be surprised. Because you also have to think of workload too. Swayman played a lot, he played hard, and this is the kid who hasn't played even a full series as a legit number one yet. So he hasn't logged those minutes yet. Not taking anything against him because he was just incredible. But yeah, I think you might see a rotation.
I think you go to Allmark game one.
Why?
1 day rest. You know what I mean? 7-game series.
And he's
obviously
got their number,
fatigued, right? and he has their number. So gosh, that's a good, very good point. I think you put him in game one if I'm the coach. I think that makes sense. But I go back and forth. I'm not all in on the Florida Panthers like you are. I feel like there are holes to this offense. I don't love their defense as much as I have in years past. I don't love their offense. Yes, they are good. I don't think they're as deep as I think they are, but they are better. They are better. So I will take the Florida Panthers, but I don't think it's going to be as, you know, lopsided as a lot of people think. I think Boston could easily win this series. We'll see what happens. Is there a letdown after the big, you know, Toronto Maple Leafs game 7 win? Or can they carry that over into this series? Florida's been sitting around for a while. So we'll see what happens there. But you got to have some faith in your team, Tim. They're good. They're a good team. Brad Marchand, I don't think, had a great series versus Toronto. I don't know if something's going on with him or if he's just
8 points.
I don't feel like he was noticeable. That's just my take on it. Yes, he was a pest. I think once Toronto stopped, you know, feeding into his antics, the last three games, he was fairly invisible in my eyes. So we'll see what happens here. Florida's a physical team. It just plays right into his plays right into Marchand's game. He's going to be chirping at Tkachuk. He's going to be in it with Sam Bennett. He's going to be all over the D-men, and that's when he thrives. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I hate picking the same matchup as you, but I'm taking Florida as well. They're the best team.
How many games do you think?
I think both games go to seven, both series. Rangers, Carolina, Boston, Florida are seven games. I hope. Yeah. What about you?
I had seven for Rangers and Carolina, and I have Carolina winning. I'll say six, Florida in six.
Okay, let's go out west. Colorado, Dallas. Two really, really good teams. Colorado obviously coming off a Stanley Cup 2 years ago, dispatched the Winnipeg Jets. Dallas, seven-game hard-fought comeback series with the Vegas Golden Knights. They get their big reward is the Colorado Avalanche and Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar and everybody that goes along with it, Mittelstad and everything else. So does Dallas have a chance, Tim, coming into this series?
Oh, of course they do. You know, but it's going to be tough. We talked about the other day about Colorado's offense in the first round. It was six goals, five goals, six goals, five goals, six goals. Dallas isn't going to do that. Like, I don't think they're going to allow that type of goals, both as a team and the defense, but also Ottinger is just not, he's a guy that does step up in the playoffs, unlike whatever's going on with Hellebuck. But I don't know. I said that the winner of Vegas and
Dallas
will go on to the Cup Finals, and I picked Dallas. I expected Winnipeg to win, and I thought Dallas would beat Winnipeg pretty easily. So the fact that Colorado won, and this is their second round matchup, makes me think a little bit. I might pick Colorado in this series. I haven't decided. I'm going to decide in like a couple of seconds when you ask me, but it'll be a great series. A lot of offense, and I think you'll be a little bit tighter than the next one we'll talk about in the West.
Oh, so you're not even making a pick. You're just punting to see what I do.
I'll make my pick right now.
Okay, what is it?
I'm sticking with Dallas.
Okay, good, because I'm taking Colorado. I don't want to go against Dallas. It was fun they came back versus Vegas, but how can you go against Nathan MacKinnon? The guy is the best player on the planet. He's so incredibly good. He does everything at high speed. He does everything the right way. And he just is so, so good, Tim. And Rantanen is right there with him. You have Cale Makar, exactly what Toronto needs. But I'm going Colorado. I don't care how good Jared Ottinger is. What's his first name?
Jake. Yeah.
Jake. I had it right the first time. I don't care how good he's played. I don't care how vaunted the Dallas defense is. I don't care how veteran laden they are. When you have a stud like Nathan MacKinnon, you can't slow him down. Not with Dallas. It's going to be a good series, but I'm taking Colorado.
I think it's going to come down to goaltending. We saw that Colorado didn't completely trust their goaltender. They were able to do it with their offense, and I feel like that's going to hurt them more than it did in the first round.
Yeah, because they scored 6, 5, 7 goals each game, but they also gave up quite a few.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it's a great series. All right, moving on. Maybe the least interesting series of the bunch, but a Canadian. So? I don't know. I think maybe I'm underselling Vancouver just because Edmonton's looked very solid. All right, Edmonton, Vancouver, north of the border matchup, ensuring at least one Canadian team will be in the Final Four. Very exciting. What do you think? Can anybody stop the Edmonton Oilers and Leon Draisaitl?
No, you can slow him down. You can contain him. And again, you can try to beat him 4-3, 6-5, whatever. It's going to be a great matchup. And I love that it's going to be a Canadian team in the top four. Surprisingly, these two teams have only played each other twice in NHL history in the playoffs. Hmm. The last time, 1992, which is hard to believe. Going to be a high-flying game, a lot of offense, a lot of just energy, I think. But I feel like Edmonton is Vancouver. They're just better at being Vancouver than they are. You know what I mean? Like, they're similar teams, but Edmonton's just better. Maybe not better goaltending. It depends on who Vancouver, but Seelov's kid is like really good.
Oh, he's a starter. Out. Yeah. He's not going anywhere.
Right. As long as he stays healthy. But I feel like Edmonton's goalie is better. Edmonton's defense better, deeper. Edmonton's offenses are certainly better. So I feel like they're better at everything, even though they're probably similarly structured.
Yeah. I can see where you're coming from. Edmonton is they're so good, and with Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Zach Hyman and all the great forwards that they have, They're hard to slow down. Vancouver has some good players too. JT Miller. I saw somewhere is comparing Mitch Marner to people. Imagine if you swapped Mitch Marner and JT Miller, how different the Toronto Maple Leafs would be. Miller makes $2 million less than Mitch Marner, and he's so much more effective. He's so incredibly good, and he just brings...
So angry.
He brings every character trait you would want as a leader, right? He holds people accountable. He can break the tension if he needs to. He's feisty on the ice. He'll fight. He'll score. He'll call his coach out. He'll call his players out. He takes the blame when it's needed. He's just... And people have always questioned him. I just think they don't like outspoken people. But moving on to the series, I don't know. Silvas has played really, really, really strong. In the emergence of him, you got Quinn Hughes on the back end. You got Zadorov. You have some solid defensemen who can maybe hang with these guys. The weakness the Vancouver Canucks have is they have a couple guys on the back end who are going to get lit up. Tyler Myers, Ian Cole, I'm nervous about you guys. Even Nikita Zadorov. Makes me nervous having you guys back there with the speed that the Edmonton Oilers can just throw on the ice at any given second. I might be leaning on the Vancouver Canucks, Tim. They're a good team, but I can't go against the Edmonton Oilers. I can't. They're too strong, much like Nathan MacKinnon with the Colorado Avalanche. I can't bet against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl and that two-headed monster that they can throw out there at any given time. So I'm taking the Edmonton Oilers. We're taking the same teams up and down. What did we differed on? Colorado,
yeah.
But yeah, I have to take the Edmonton Oilers. I've been messaging with a couple of the Oilers Nation guys. I'm like, you still haven't played a hard series. Wait till you get to the Western Conference Finals. All right, so there's our picks, Tim.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention real quick. You got a couple of comments on Instagram and YouTube, Twitter, whatever that. Thought your rant about Connor McDavid the other day was serious, about him not being good enough or washed up or whatever. I forget how you put it. And I know you were being kind of farcical with it, but people thought it was real. Here's a tweet I'll read to you. 97 leads the playoffs in scoring and is currently playing the game at the highest level ever seen. As per your comments last week, you must have taken a few too many punches to the head. No need to worry about 97, except if you're playing against him. He's upset.
It's amazing. Have we lost all sense of sarcasm or humor in this world, this day and age? It's amazing. He's only gotten one goal, though.
Yeah.
Got a bunch of assists. What would you rather have, goals or assists? Give me the goals. A lot of secondary assists.
I want wins.
It's true. But if I'm picking a line, throw it on the ice at the end of the game, and I'm the Edmonton Oilers coach, maybe I don't want McDavid out there. I want someone who's going to score, not someone who just flies around and looks flashy.
Here we go again.
All flash, no substance. That's his new name. So some people hate the truth. I think that's what it is. When faced with reality, it's a tough pill to swallow, right?
I guess so.
Sorry, let's do some quick hits. The PWHL's inaugural season came to a close last night. That's the Professional Women's Hockey League. Very fun. Brand new, revamped. They consolidated all the leagues. Very, very fun. And friend of the show, Natalie Spooner, led the league in goals and points. So good for her. Very exciting. Hopefully that league can continue to succeed, have success. They had a good first parlay this year, and we can boost up women's hockey. I myself would love to see that. I have seven young girls who would love to play professional hockey. Maybe number 8 on the way in July. We'll see. So good for them. Good for Natalie Spooner. All right, Tim. Big night tomorrow night.
Yeah, the NHL draft lottery is tomorrow night. Which is always exciting, especially when you have a prospect of this caliber, the generational talent. I think we can all agree he is. Macklin Calabrini is just an absolute stud. He's so young. He's so talented. He's doing things that you haven't really seen before at the collegiate level. So really exciting. Right now, San Jose Sharks, as the last place team, have an 18.5% chance of winning the first overall pick. Behind them, Chicago 13.5, Anaheim 11.5. Columbus, Montreal, and then Utah slides in at number 6. So
Utah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Right, where's the best spot for him? Where does he go? Chicago had the third highest odds last year. They get Bedard. Where do you think he goes?
I hope San Jose.
Ugh.
I think they need it, obviously. And I feel like the league needs something for San Jose to root for. Otherwise, they're just, where do you go from here? But it feels like the stars are aligning for him to be in Chicago and play with Bedard.
I hope he goes to Montreal. That would be a fantastic spot for him. They need high-end forwards to just round. I think they, I've always said this, I don't mind their team. He would be fun. Put him with Caulfield, Suzuki, Slafkovský, a lot of high-end young forwards. That'd be fun for Montreal to get him, but he's going to go to Chicago. It makes too much sense for him not to go to Chicago. It'll be him. It'll be Bedard. They'll sign another high-end guy this offseason, and you can slowly see the resurgence of the Blackhawks coming to fruition, much like they had Kane and Taves. It's going to happen again. Chicago Blackhawks. Check it out tomorrow night, Draft Lottery. Very, very fun. We'll talk to everybody on Wednesday, Tim. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and have a good week, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.